Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You were listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here with you. Rob Brenton is here with you as well. We are going up until 4:30 today. We are off a lot earlier than usual because of the Kansas City Royals. They're in the Eastern time zone. They are taking on the Pittsburgh Pirates as the Royals get closer to locking in a playoff spot. For that reason, we are talking football from now until then. So whether it is the Chiefs, whether it is all three local schools that have really important games this weekend in varying degrees, whether it's week two of the National Football League. So if you want good football conversation, we got you covered right here on The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Rob is here. We will not waste too much of your time today because we don't have a whole lot of time. I will let Rob give you a pizza and then we'll get to week two, Chiefs and Bengals.
It's the time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. 913-586-7965. Caller number six wins a pizza from our friends over to Pizza Tassio. Pizza Tassio is Kansas City's best New York-style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They got locations in Waldo, Belton, North KC, OP, and Midtown. They also have a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wines. So whether it's a whole pie or just a slice or two, be sure to visit them now at pizzatassio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. You also can listen on 610 AM. You can also watch on YouTube. You can watch on Twitch. It doesn't matter. Just be here at 2 o'clock. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends. I need you to tell one friend that if you want some of the best pizza in Kansas City and you're also excited about the return of college football and the NFL, the best place to celebrate that is with us right here on The Drive. So I am not saying that because of where we live, but I believe that Chiefs and Bengals is the most interesting game on the slate for this weekend. Now, Chicago and Houston has a measure of intrigue to me. I want to see if Caleb Williams can bounce back from his week one performance. Houston looks like they're going to be a legitimate threat and contender in the AFC. Monday night football has some intrigue to me. You got Philadelphia. You got Atlanta. There was a lot of preseason hype for the Atlanta Falcons. They go on the road to play Philadelphia, an offense that looks like they've got that sizzle back with Saquon Barkley, who dominated in week one. But I firmly believe that Chiefs and Bengals is the most interesting game on the docket for week two. Let me walk you through why I think that is. These two teams have played very close games every single time that they have gone up against one another. In the matchups between Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, and these two teams, every single matchup has been decided by 3 points. These have been games that have been highly competitive. These are games that have been tightly contested. These are games that always go down to the wire. So I usually expect Vegas to be an indicator of that. The fact that Kansas City is a 5.5 point, 6 point favorite, depending on where you get your line, tells you that they believe Kansas City is about to break that trend. Now, I think it is important to note in this conversation, and why I think this game is so interesting, is this. I don't believe that Kansas City has changed. Sure, the pieces have changed. You don't have Tyreek Hill anymore. You don't have Juju Smith-Schuster in the same role and capacity that he was in. You don't have MVS anymore. The Chiefs are certainly new, different parts, but they have not changed. They have been the trendsetter in the AFC. They have been the team that everybody is chasing. They have been the team that has always been in the conversation of being one of the better teams in the National Football League. It's not what Cincinnati was last year. That's not what Cincinnati looked like in week one of the NFL season. This line is an indicator of how Las Vegas feels about Cincinnati, not of how it feels about the Kansas City Chiefs. Even if the Chiefs lose the game, I don't believe many people are changed about the Kansas City Chiefs. This is a team that you're going to have to contend with late in the year. This is a team that's going to win their division, a team that's going to win double-digit games. Nothing changes for the Chiefs with a loss. A lot changes for Cincinnati with a win or a loss. I think this game is solely about Cincinnati. And not that the Chiefs aren't there, but this game is about Cincinnati to me. And does the old Cincinnati still exist? Because Las Vegas is telling you they're unsure by the line on this game and where they think it is. It's a 6-point spread for two teams that have played 4 consecutive 3-point games. So Vegas is telling you they're not sure, or they don't think that Cincinnati is the same team. In week one, Cincinnati did all the things that bad teams do. Cincinnati got outran by 100 yards. Their quarterback got sacked 3 times. They were -2 in the turnover differential. They lost the time of possession by 10 minutes. I don't care who you play in the National Football League. When you add all of those things up, you are going to lose to any team in the league. I don't care if that game is in your backyard or you go on the road. There are not many teams in week one that I think were embarrassing. I think Cincinnati was embarrassing in week one. To lose at home to the New England Patriots is embarrassing. This game to me is not about the Chiefs and their greatness. They have defined that for themselves by how they've competed in the postseason. This game to me is finding out if Cincinnati is the team that they used to be. Because the team that they used to be could win this game. The team that they used to be could keep this game close and competitive. The team that they used to be were the Chiefs' number one rival and contenders. We just saw the Chiefs' biggest contender from last year. It was Baltimore, and they looked the part. That was a close, that was a game fitting of being the first game of the NFL season. Is that who Cincinnati is anymore? This is the first time that I can remember since Joe Burrow really popped into the national consciousness at LSU that people have questioned him and his ability, whether it's the wrist, whether it's the weapons around him, whether it's the circumstances. It was not like this at the beginning of last season. It was not like that coming into Cincinnati. It's like that now. He has overnight turned into the most scrutinized and criticized player in the National Football League. Move over, Dak Prescott. For 1 week, it was you. The best way to quiet all of that conversation is to play well in this game. Even if you don't win, I don't know many people that are expecting Cincinnati to go on the road and win this game, but the old Cincinnati used to be competitive in these spots, and I want to know if they're still competitive. That's my biggest question in what I think is the most intriguing game in week two. I know what Kansas City is. They are a title contending, division winning champion. I'm not sure what Cincinnati is, and maybe it is an overreaction to what I saw in week one, but most of the teams that I expected to be good in week one, they were good. Kansas City was good. Baltimore was good. Houston was good. San Francisco, Detroit. All of the teams that you think can realistically win the Super Bowl, they looked the part in week one, except one. I don't think the Jets can win the Super Bowl. I'm not a believer in the Atlanta Falcons at least being a Super Bowl contending team. I think that about Cincinnati. That's how they've carried themselves. Are the Bengals still the Bengals is the top story to me right now in the National Football League, aside from Tua, and we'll get to that here coming up in just a bit. But that's why I think this is the most interesting game on the docket for week two of the NFL season. Let's talk about Tua for just a little bit, and then we're going to be joined by Dave Lapham, who is the color commentary for the Bengals radio network. I was watching that game live yesterday. I imagine many of you were doing the same. It was scary. Because you've seen that before. You could see his neck and the way that it moved. You could see the way that he hit the ground. You could see his hands. And it felt very, very familiar with Tua. This is one of those topics and situations that sometimes I wish the media and people could just simply say, I don't know, man. I cannot imagine if you are Tua, the conflicting feelings that you have to have. This is not about just football. This is about your life. This is about your health. You could get seriously and permanently injured out there playing football. You could continue to diminish your quality of life continuing to play football. Man, it's also your dream. You have made it to where you are in the 1% of the 1% of the 1% of your craft. You made it. You made it to the point that not just are you a starting quarterback in the NFL, you're one of the ones that have really gotten paid from this. At this point, you were playing football because it's something that you love. It's a part of you. Both of your brothers were D1 quarterbacks. One of your brothers is in the National Football League with you right now. You are a success story. I feel really uncomfortable telling Tua just to quit. You made all this money. Just quit. Just walk away. Maybe that is the right thing for him to do. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I have a mass communications degree. I can't tell you what the right thing for Tua to do is. I do know one thing, though. I say this all the time about football. It's not something that you can play without 100% of your heart. You can do a lot of things and not be 100% in doing it. You really can. You cannot play football that way. You cannot play football scared. You cannot play football timid. You cannot play football with hesitation. And if Tua, after this injury, comes back with any of that, that's when you got to start to have the conversation with yourself about what you want to do. But it was scary yesterday. Certainly thoughts and prayers to Tua. We're still waiting on information to see what it looks like. When is he coming back? Is he healthy? And this is a conversation that Tua has to have with his family. You have now had two or three of these in a very short period of time. Are you going to continue to play football? That is a conversation that not just we are having as a football society, that has to be a conversation that he is having with his family as well over the course of the next couple of days. Coming up on the other side, let's get to Dave Lapham. He covers the Cincinnati Bengals. He is their color commentary. How in the world did they lose to the Patriots in week one? We'll find out. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. Let's head to Cincinnati right now to take a closer look at the Week 2 opponent for the Kansas City Chiefs. Dave Lapham joins us on the show. He is with the Bengals Radio Network. Dave, happy to have you on the show today. Let's start with one of the biggest questions of Week 1. What happened to the Bengals? How did they lose to the Patriots?
I'll tell you what, the Patriots were more ready to play football. The Patriots were the more physical football team. The Cincinnati Bengals missed 14 tackles in that football game. That's the most in the 6-year tenure that Lou Anarumo has been defensive coordinator, and that was kind of the story of the game. You know, they basically got handled up front on both sides of the line of scrimmage for the most part. I mean, gave up 170 yards rushing, only rushed for 70. The Patriots ran the ball 21 more snaps than the Bengals did. They just controlled the football in every sense of the word. They controlled the clock, controlled the ball, they controlled the tempo, they controlled everything that you can control. And as a result, the Bengals find themselves in a situation where they lost a football game that they weren't anticipating they were going to lose. So they have to make up for it somewhere. And Kansas City would be a nice one to get. Baltimore would be a nice one to get. Those are the kind of games that they're looking at now, trying to get a win. Where, you know, that maybe not people aren't expecting them to get a win because people weren't expecting them to lose this one.
Dave, you've been around this organization. You've been around this team. Why do you think they customarily get off to slow starts? Right now, Zach Taylor is 1-8 in the first 2 weeks of the NFL season. You played this game. You know the importance of starting hot and starting fresh. Why do you think Cincinnati has started so slow the last handful of seasons?
Yeah, I mean, I guess they don't really push players as much as Andy Reid, for example. Andy Reid works his players pretty darn hard at training camp. John Harbaugh does the same thing. You know, he has his projected starters, both of them, getting the snaps and getting some significant snaps during the course of the preseason. So, you know, I think that's part of it. Now, they tried to up the ante a little bit in that regard this year. They had really some pretty serious practices in terms of physicality and situational football, and then they had joint practices with the Chicago Bears and the Indianapolis Colts, you know, trying to remedy that problem. But it reared his ugly head once again.
Right now, we're talking to Dave Lapham. He is on the Bengals radio network. He does the color commentary for the Cincinnati Bengals. You have seen a lot of Joe Burrow. What are you seeing from him? There's a lot of questions about his health, about the wrist. Is he 100%? What did you see from him in week one against the Patriots?
Yeah, I mean, Carrington, I don't think that his new 100% is not his old 100%. You know, you have an injury like he had. When you have surgery that is a rare surgery, there's not many cases of it. So I think he's still in rehab. I mean, he's listed on the injury report for the second week of the season. Now he's practicing full, but he's obviously getting treatment and rehabilitation. So, you know, he's going to be listed. And, you know, he just has to keep working to keep it loose, keep it stretched out. The new 100% is a different 100% than the 100% he probably had before the injury, and that's just part of life in the National Football League. I remember – you know, having injuries, whether it be a dislocated elbow or a torn cartilage in a knee that and some other damage to it, where it's like, okay, can I play with it? Yeah. Is it 100% like it was before the injury? No. You figure out what the new 100% is and make adjustments and go from there, and I think he's in the process of doing that.
I consider Joe Burrow to be the second best quarterback in the league when he's healthy behind Patrick Mahomes. So it's interesting to hear you say that 100% for him now is just a new 100% and that you have to adjust. He hasn't played like that guy in 2022 in quite some time. Last year felt like a lost year because of the injury. It's just one game, so I don't want to completely overreact to one game. But it has been some time since you've seen that fearless Joe Burrow that was in the conversation to being the best quarterback in the league.
Yeah, I mean, he hadn't done anything really for about a year. So, you know, it doesn't come back overnight. And I think all of it, I think, you know, the recognition of what he's seeing out there, you know, making sure that he feels comfortable with it, making sure that he feels comfortable with people pressuring him. You know, don't drop your eyes from coverage and look at the pass rush. You know, get back in the habit of avoiding doing that type of thing. Don't take your eyes off coverage too soon necessarily. You know, it's a rhythm, it's a timing, and literally at this level in the National Football League with the athletes that are out there and the coaches that are scheming, like in this game, Lou Anarumo and Steve Spagnuolo, I mean, it's literally a tick. I mean, if you hesitate, not even a full second, I mean, any hesitation whatsoever can make a difference in that play. And, you know, now he's got to make sure that he's seeing what he's seeing, and he feels 100% confident in it, pre-snap to post-snap. And these defensive coordinators do a heck of a job of changing the picture, man. I mean, you see a picture pre-snap read, and then after the snap of the football, it's a totally different picture. And it takes some time to get back into the rhythm and timing and the recognition of all that.
Keeping it with the offense, this team only scored 10 points last week. A lot of it was due to the quarterback. A lot of it was due to the timing was off with Ja'Marr Chase, who hasn't practiced. He was under the weather. It doesn't appear that T. Higgins is also going to play in this game. He hasn't practiced this week left. Do you think that this team has enough firepower to go on the road and beat Kansas City with the injuries that they currently have?
We'll see. I mean, I guess, you know, time will tell on that. They only scored 3 points in the opener last year as well. 8 quarters of football to open the last two seasons, a grand total of 13 points. At least they put a touchdown on the board in this football game in terms of the opener. But, yeah, do they have enough weapons? Yeah, if everybody is in sync and the rhythm and timing is right and they're competing at the highest level, and I think from an excitement and energy standpoint, I don't think there's going to be a problem in that regard, them getting ready for the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, a lot of people think that they might have been looking past the New England Patriots emotionally in that regard, you know, thinking about the Kansas City Chiefs game. So it didn't work out against the Patriots. Now you're going to have to get it done against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Who are some of the names of players that are going to have to step up from this Bengals team in the absence of T. Higgins? There's been some changes since the last time that you and I talked about a Chiefs and Bengals game. We mentioned T. Higgins, his health. Joe Mixon is now playing for the Houston Texans. Who are some of the players, aside from Ja'Marr Chase, that are going to need to step up in order to help this team go to Arrowhead and leave with the win?
Yeah, Andre Josivash, you know, a young player. He had a great offseason. He's come back bigger, stronger, faster. He's going to have to step up at that receiver position. The old pro, the KG veteran, Trent Irwin, he's going to have to fill a role. Charlie Jones is the punt returner, as well as another option at the wide receiver position. And Mike Gesicki and Tanner Hudson are receiving tight ends that that they can utilize in other areas. They can detach them and put them in the slot and formations and do some things with them. Eric Hall is another tight end, a rookie tight end that has shown promise as a receiver and a blocker, pretty complete tight end. Jermaine Burton, third-round draft pick that they got in this year's draft, is another one that is going to have to step up and increase his role. Everybody is going to have to step up and do a little bit more than maybe they anticipated their role might be when the season started with the absence of T. Higgins with that hamstring problem, and Ja'Marr Chase just worked around himself back into shape.
Right now, we're talking to Dave Lapham for a couple more minutes. He is with the Bengals Radio Network. Dave, I think that this is one of the best rivalries in the National Football League. I know this isn't a traditional rivalry. These aren't two teams that are in the same division, but this reminds me of Patriots-Colts from 20 years ago, Patriots-Broncos, Patriots-Steelers. You know, you have the team that has set the standard. They've been the blueprint in the AFC, and one of their biggest contenders in Cincinnati. These games are always close. These games are always competitive. They always come down to the final 8 minutes every single week.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, when you look at it, these two teams have played six times in the last 4 years. I mean, division opponents only play eight times in that four-year stretch, so they played each other a lot. They played each other in the regular season, played each other in the postseason. I mean, the AFC championship games, the last couple of times they've matched up have been three-point affairs, one by each football team. And usually that's about what it boils down to. It looks like, you know, these games, from a matchup standpoint, it's going to be about a field goal difference, you know, and it's going to be decided by a play. So it's going to be very interesting. I know one thing, you went -2 in the turnover department against the New England Patriots. The Bengals lost two fumbles all year last year. It set a franchise record, and it was fewest in the National Football League. They lost two fumbles against the Patriots in a little over half a play. So, I mean, that's a dramatic difference. They took care of the football last year. They only had 16 giveaways on the season, tied for second fewest in the NFL. That's what they're going to have to do. You can't afford to give the Kansas City Chiefs extra possessions. The Patriots ended up with 10 possessions. The Bengals had 8 because they gave 2 away. Can't give away possessions in a game like this, man. You got to try to generate extra possessions for yourself, or at least make it even, Steven, in that regard.
So you mentioned one of the keys for a Bengals win. What's another key? Protecting the football, turnover differential. You certainly don't want to go too arrowhead and give Patrick Mahomes, you know, 8 possessions when he should have 6. Is there another key that you see for Cincinnati? And I know that Vegas would consider this to be an upset. It would not be surprising in the least bit, given these two teams' history, for Cincinnati to win in Arrowhead on Sunday.
I mean, you know, there's a lot of things, really. When you look at these two football teams with a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, one of the problems the Bengals had last week was they didn't keep pass rush lane integrity, and they paid for it. And with Patrick Mahomes, he's going to really make you pay for it. You have to stay in your lane, and you have to, you know, pressure the inside portion of the pocket. There wasn't any pressure inside. In terms of pass rush from the Bengals, Trey Hendrickson was time after time. He had like a 40% win rate. He was getting it down off the edge, but there was nothing happening up the middle. And then there was like vacated rush lanes up the middle. They're going to have to remedy that problem because Patrick Mahomes will feast on that.
That is Dave Lapham of the Bengals Radio Network joining us on the show to get you ready for one of the marquee games of Week 2, the Chiefs and Bengals. That gets the 325 Nance and Romo treatment. It is always a great game when these two franchises go up against each other. Dave, I'm expecting a great game. I imagine you are as well. Thanks a lot for hopping on today.
Appreciate it, Carrington. Should be fun.
Absolutely. That is Dave Lapham joining us on the show to give us his thoughts on Chiefs and Bengals. I do want to get back to this game here coming up in a bit, but I've got a little bit of a hypothetical button game, a little bit of a toss-up game scenario, Rob. This is the question, because I know how much you value draft picks. Let's say that Brett Veach is just sitting there. Let's say that he's playing college football 25 with the little one, and all of a sudden his phone goes off. He looks. It's a 504 number, 305, whatever Miami's area code is. He picks it up, says, "Hey, how's it going?" He says, "All right, you guys know that we're in a quarterback situation. We're not going to have our quarterback for the rest of the season. We're going to offer you a 5th round pick for Carson Wentz. Are you making the trade right now?" if Miami calls right now, Tua is out for the rest of the season, they are offering a fifth round pick for Carson Wentz. Are you making that deal?
Me? I make that deal. Rob Brinton makes that deal. You know how I love mid-round picks. Mid-round picks are my favorite. They bring joy to my heart. I would do that in an absolute heartbeat. But I don't think Brett Veach would. And I think the difference in me and Brett Veach is, obviously, a couple Super Bowl rings. But beyond that, Andy Reid historically has liked, at least in Kansas City, a veteran backup. A guy who has been through the ringer as Patrick Mahomes' number two. Think about it. They had Chad Henne. Then they brought in Matt Moore because Chad Henne got hurt. Then they had Henne. They had Blaine Gabbert, who had been in the league for a long time. And now they have Carson Wentz, who, even though people look at him as a failed NFL quarterback, he has been in the league for, what, 10, 11 years now? Brett Veach, I think, would say no, because Brett Veach would have Andy Reid telling him, do not take my veteran backup. I liked having that safety net. Rob Brinton on Madden, doing whatever he can, talk show, no ramifications, no Andy Reid to report to, would do it in an absolute heartbeat because I can turn that fifth-round pick into a Legarius Sneed type. I can turn that fifth-round pick into something of value on the roster, but I don't think Brett Veach makes that move. I don't think Andy Reid would let him make that move.
Let me ask you a quick question before I answer my question. Do you know how many different starting quarterbacks there were in the NFL in 2023? Just take a guess.
I'll guess 40. Each team had one, so there's 32. I'll guess 40.
66 different quarterbacks started a game last year in the NFL.
Way off.
Now, some of that is due to poor performance, right? Some guys got benched. A lot of it is due to injury and things that happen over the course of the year. The Jets, you think you got Aaron Rodgers. All of a sudden, he goes down. Zach Wilson gets called into action. I am not in the business of you have a problem now, and I'm going to let you fix your problem while creating a problem for my own team. Now, maybe the Chiefs are in a unique situation because they've got Bailey Zappe, a guy who started in this league, and you feel like in this offense with this team, Bailey Zappe could step up and start in an emergency for Patrick Mahomes. But no, last year the Dolphins had the 158th pick. I am not interested in pick 158 to get you out of a bind and now creates a hole for my team that hopefully you're not in that situation. You hope Patrick Mahomes plays all 17 games. You hope that he plays the postseason, but it's also the National Football League. It wouldn't be surprising if Patrick Mahomes misses week 9 or misses week 10. It's football. Things happen. You get rolled up on your ankle. The Chiefs hold him out of precaution because they know they're going to be a team that's playing deep into the season. No, I am not trading my break in case of emergency because we might need our break in case of emergency. So no, I'm not trading Carson Wentz for the 158th pick. Maybe I'd be interested in doing that if it was March, that you can get yourself, hey, we'll go get a backup quarterback. We can do something, or we'll draft somebody. But trading a today asset for a tomorrow asset, I'm not interested in doing this year. No, that's a no for me. No, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I would say yes, because I think Andy Reid in a short burst, the definition of how long we think Patrick Mahomes in this hypothetical could be out if this came to fruition. I think Andy Reid in a pinch could make Bailey Zappe viable. 1-2 games, you go 1-1 with Bailey Zappe. I think Andy Reid is smart enough to do that. I think the Chiefs coaching staff is strong enough to do that. I think it is the definition of tread water if they were forced into a Bailey Zappe situation. But I don't think Andy Reid thinks that way. And I don't think you think that way. And I don't think that's wrong. I just feel like I trust Andy Reid so much that I think you could put Schmucky the Clown behind Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid's going to get the most out of that guy. I mean, what year was it in Philadelphia? It was what, Coy Detmer started a game, Don McNabb started a game, Jeff Garcia started a game. And you know what? The Eagles just kept churning out wins. You know why? Andy Reid was coaching up the offense and was doing a good job. I think he could do that again in 2024, but I understand the hesitancy and the want for a veteran.
Someone on the text line says, so they move it up to a third round. Now what? Number one, if you're telling me you're going to give me a top 100 pick for Carson Wentz, that obviously changes the conversation. And I just don't think Miami would do that. There's other court, like Ryan Tannehill right now is unemployed. I'd rather just go get Ryan Tannehill. I'd rather go do that than give the Chiefs the 97th overall pick to go get Carson Wentz. So I think a third is way too high. I do think I'm reading some of the text. Fifth, that's crazy, C-Dot. We're going to need a one. You might get me to settle on a two and a fifth. If Miami calls right now in a two and a fifth for the Chiefs backup quarterback, you know what? We'll figure it out. We're not winning the Super Bowl if Patrick Mahomes isn't playing anyway. So if you're telling me it's week 10 and week 12 that you don't have Patrick Mahomes, we will figure it out for the 42nd overall pick. We'll be perfectly fine. I think that's a little bit too rich for the blood. Just throwing that conversation out there.
Can you imagine if the Dolphins are like, we'll give you a one for Carson Wentz? Yeah, I should be fired if you turn that down.
I couldn't move him fast enough if that was the case. Here, take him. You're telling me you're going to give us a first? We could get the 27th overall pick for Carson Wentz? Here, you can have him.
It would be better than 27th because Carson Wentz is, at best, you're getting the 16th pick for Carson Wentz? The Eagles didn't do that well when they traded him.
Here, you can just have him if that's the case. A lot of people are wanting me to talk about the Hollywood Brown thing. I certainly get it. I understand why people are talking about it and why it's a topic. Maybe I am just jaded to the Chiefs regular season, and this is much more of a deal than I am making it. The Chiefs have enough offense to get them through the first half of the season, and I have seen enough Chiefs football that I am not going to overreact to anything that I see in September and October. If you were telling me that Hollywood Brown is going to be here from week 9 on, okay, that's fine. We just know that this is part of his injury history. He has dealt with injuries at almost every single stop that he's had. Now, this is a little bit of a different injury, but I expect Hollywood Brown to come back, and knock on wood, you expect him to be available for the postseason. So I get it. You want to see this offense operate in full. This offense has way more than enough than I think they need to get by the next 6-7 weeks if they don't have Hollywood Brown. You look at Rashee Rice, who was turning into a number one wide receiver. Xavier Worthy had a big game. The Chiefs just scored 27 points and didn't get a whole lot from Isaiah Pacheco and also didn't get a whole lot from Travis Kelce. So I'm not worried at all about their offense and their ability to make up for this. Now, if you start to pluck more fruit off the branches and now you lose Xavier Worthy for a time or you lose Rashee Rice, that changes the spectrum. But I'm not going to say that Hollywood doesn't matter. But at this point, you've got enough weapons and enough variety that you can make it through the first 8-9 games of the season without having Hollywood Brown. If anything, I would say this makes it more likely that he comes back to the Chiefs next year on a 1-year deal. If you are another team and the expectation was that you were going to go to Kansas City, you were going to ball out and put together a great year, and then you were going to get that Juju deal where the 3 years 25 comes in or the 3 years 30, are you giving it to a wide receiver who has dealt with injuries in each of the last 3 seasons? To me, this makes it more likely that Hollywood comes back in 2025 if you want him to on another prove it type deal, another 1 year, $4 million, $5 million kind of deal. These are the deals that we talk about in the league. Like, there is a reason why Hollywood Brown was available for so cheap. And a big reason why was his injury history. And that these are things that have come up. He was not a guy that you were expecting to play 17 to 21 games for the Kansas City Chiefs this year. That's just not on his Pro Football Reference page. So I'm not here to diminish Hollywood Brown and say, oh, it just doesn't matter at all. But it's the first half of the season. If he's not here the second half of the season, so Halloween or later, we can start to have that conversation about Hollywood Brown.
And I will, real quick, I apologize for interrupting.
Right, you're good.
Our friend of the show, Matt Verderam, earlier today tweeted this out. Per a source, Chiefs Hollywood Brown will miss a majority of the regular season with his SC joint injury. Surgery is coming to correct the injury. He could be back toward the end of the season if things go well. So it sounds like, based on this tweet from Matt Verderam, miss a majority of the regular season, that sounds more like a post-Halloween problem.
So you know what? Why don't we try to get Matt Verderam on the show? Let's call him up, friend of the show. If he's available, he'll do it. Let's try to get Matt Verderam on the show. This is new information. This is breaking here. Sounds like he's going to miss maybe a little bit more time than we had expected. We're going to try to get our guy, Matt Verderam, on the other side. I also want to give you guys a parlay. We got college football going on. We got the NFL going on. We got injuries going on. It's a lot happening. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, I want to play this audio for you, and we're going to be joined by Matt Verderam here coming up momentarily. This is Dr. David Chow. So Hollywood Brown is on the injured reserve list. Sounds like it could be pretty serious. Here's Dr. David Chow, who is going to be on the show Monday.
Uncharted territory. SC joint injuries are less common than AC joint. Very rare to need surgery. I've done them in my career, but never on an NFL athlete. I'm not aware of another NFL athlete that has had SC joint surgery. If this is open surgery and reconstruction, it would mean the end of his season. One can hope for a relocation and maybe pinning procedure and maybe come back later, but it seems like his Chiefs initial season is done and he's in uncharted waters, but we do expect a good return next season. Unfortunate news for Chiefs wide receiver Marquise Hollywood Brown.
So that is Dr. David Chow. He is going to be on the show with us on Monday. The schedules just didn't line up today with us getting off early. He makes it sound like it's really serious. That sounds like a worst case scenario to me. Let's go to Matt Verderam. He just had a report 5 minutes ago about this. He is as plugged in as anybody with the Chiefs. Matt, happy to have you on the show. What are you hearing from Kansas City?
Yeah, I spoke to a source around the team who essentially told me, look, they don't want to give a timeline because they're not even quite sure of the timeline yet. But my understanding and their understanding is it's going to be months, not weeks. That there is hope that he can come back toward the back portion of the schedule, the back end of the season. But that's unknown. To be honest, I think they're kind of waiting to see what happens on Monday with the surgery. How invasive is it? How much is involved? Is it possible he misses the season? Absolutely. Is it possible that he comes back toward the end and can go down the stretch drive of them? At this point, it is possible. So they're kind of in wait-and-see mode.
Why was the decision, I guess, made to wait on surgery and not do this 3 weeks ago when the injury had happened and kind of speed up recovery time? Why was he not placed on the IR from day one?
Because the expectation was that he was going to be able to heal without surgery, that the joint was going to heal itself through rest and through some rehab, and that he would be able to kind of come back in the same way that we saw Tyreek Hill come back in the 2019 season. I know it's been compared to that a lot for a similar injury. The problem, to my knowledge, is that the joint simply didn't heal correctly, or at least in the way that they felt that he wouldn't be at a really high risk of a serious re-injury. And so because of that, after some consultations, they decided to go the route of surgery. That's the best way to clean it up. It's the best way to get it right. And again, I think right now, look, it's certain that he's going to be out for months. The uncertainty is, could he come back for the very end of the season? Could he come back for the playoffs? Or is it just, hey, look, this is a lost season, and he's going to be a free agent after this year, and then, you know, we'll go from there.
Right now, we're talking to Matt Verderam with the breaking news. It sounds like the injury to Hollywood Brown is maybe a little bit more serious than initially thought. On a scale from 1 to 10, how serious do you think this injury is? The fact that he is going on the IR and surgery certainly gives it a decent number. What do you think this means for the offense? How serious is this absence?
Well, from his standpoint, obviously the number's really high, right? I mean, because he could be out for the year, he's a pending free agent. So from his standpoint, you know, 7, 8, 8.5, whatever you want to say. From the Chiefs' standpoint, look, obviously they'd love to have him. They signed him, they brought him in, he was a marquee addition for him. At the same point, I think this is a team that clearly is equipped to soldier on here and still be very good. We saw them against Baltimore. They averaged 7.1 yards per play. It was more than any other team in the league on week one against the highest ranked defense in the league last season in terms of points against. The thing that this injury does is it gives you no margin for error now. Like, they can't afford Xavier Worthy missing a month. They can't afford Rashee Rice going down with like a high ankle sprain. They need those guys. I think Watson and Juju, look, they can, you know, step in and be the fourth and fifth options in the offense. That's okay. That's fine. But they need Xavier Worthy to be productive and healthy, and they need Rashee Rice to be productive and healthy. If that happens, I think they can deal with it.
I mean, for the last,
happen, you're back to last year.
I'm sorry about that, Matt. For the last couple of years, and I guess the history of Andy Reid is we usually have said, man, rookie wide receivers kind of come on slowly. They're not afforded that luxury anymore. I don't think that Xavier Worthy has to go out and have 1,100 yards this year, but he can't have 400 yards receiving for this team. He needs to be a legitimate either two or three receiver for this team.
Yes. Look, he's got to be their third weapon. Like, Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce, provided everybody's healthy from here, and I didn't carry the load. I think Rice, it's pretty obvious, can be a 1,000-plus yard receiver. He could have been that last year if he didn't sit the last game of the season. Kelce, he's not maybe what he was 3-4 years ago. He's still a great player. Like, they will still manage. They have Noah Gray, who's a real legitimate tight end, too. But, yeah, they're going to need Worthy. Like, if you look at the past, they have not wanted to play rookie receivers any more than like 40% of the snaps. Like, Tyreek Hill had 41% as a rookie. Rice was well below 50% until the latter half of the year, and they had absolutely no choice. They're not going to have a choice. Like, Xavier Worthy's playing. It is going to happen. And Mahomes at the beginning of camp said, hey, look, there's no ramp up. He's got to play. And that was before Hollywood Brown obviously got hurt. They're going to need him to play, and they're going to need to acclimate. And the good news is that, geez, he'll look great in week one. And I would expect, and he played about 67% of the snaps, if memory serves me right. That number is only going to steady and or increase here as we go forward.
Looking at the rest of the team, who does this put more pressure on out of the other guys to step up? We mentioned Rice. We mentioned Worthy. Is this now Justin Watson steps up? Is this now a Juju Smith-Schuster, Mecole Hardman? I mean, there's targets, there's yards available that we didn't think were going to be available. Who do you think has to step up to fill that role?
I think it's going to be a combination, obviously. But, you know, if you look at the snap counts from week one, so Sky Moore played, I think it was 10 snaps. Hardman didn't play any on offense. Watson played 52%. So he got the most of guys that weren't Rice and Worthy. I would expect that Watson's going to take a lot of those. Because one thing about Watson, he is a good deep threat. He can get down the field. Now, he's not Hollywood Brown, but he has speed. And so you at least can run the offense the same way as if you had Brown out there in terms of the verticality of it, trying to stretch the defense, make him respect the speed. With Juju, you can't really do that because he's not a speed guy. So I think you're going to see this done by committee. I think Watson will out-snap all the rest of those other receivers.
That is our guy, Matt Verderam, joining us on the show. I guess, Matt, general NFL question before we get you out of here. Give me a lock that you like for this week. Just give me your biggest surprise, your biggest upset, your biggest disappointment.
So I think the Ravens are going to pound on the Raiders this week. I just don't see a world where the Raiders go across the country and they've got to play early in the day. They're just not talented enough. Like, Baltimore lost to Kansas City, but Baltimore certainly looked like a team that you look at and go, okay. I mean, they should be there. And then look, I think if you look around the rest of the league, you know, there's Denver. Trip up Pittsburgh, maybe. I'll give you one. I think Pittsburgh will win, though. Does Tennessee beat the Jets? Like, the Jets defensively were a wreck in that game against San Francisco. And while the Titans are not the Niners, the Titans have guys. They've got Pollard. They've got Hopkins. They've got O'Connell. They've got some real guys on that team. Like, I wonder, you know, Ridley. I do wonder in that game, if the Titans can take away Garrett Wilson at all, is that one of those games you'll look up the scoreboard and you're like, oh, it's 17-14 with 5 minutes left? I'm very curious to see how that game shakes out.
That was our guy, Matt Verderam, joining us on the show today. Matt, we appreciate you hopping on.
Anytime, Carrington. Take care.
Absolutely. That's Matt Verderam. We'll get back to Hollywood Brown and Chiefs and Bengals coming up at the top. Rob, I would like to give you our parlay for the day. It is brought to you by FanDuel. FanDuel's got something special for our listeners. Be sure to check out FanDuel's Profit Boost in the app, and you can use it for FanDuel Double Your Winnings on all Sunday pregame moneyline bets. Profit Boost will be live starting today. View your account page now to learn more about the boost. You know what? I'll give you the parlay coming up at the top of the hour. My money line bet for this one's going to be simple. I'm taking the Pittsburgh Steelers. That defense against that rookie quarterback, I'm going to take Mike Tomlin. I'm going to take Pittsburgh. This feels like a week that we look up and say, how are the Pittsburgh Steelers 2-0? And they're one of the surprise 2-0 teams. I'm going to go ahead and boost that. I'm going to take Pittsburgh on the money line. That is going to be my FanDuel profit boost to double my winnings. We'll give you our parlay coming up in the 3 o'clock hour as well. We'll also respond to what we've heard about Hollywood Brown. Will also get back to Chiefs and Bengals. It's a lot happening on a Red Friday. It's The Drive.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.